My name's Miguel Rodriguez. 650 Capitol Mall, Office of U.S. Attorney, Sacramento, 95814.
That was the voice of United States Attorney Miguel Rodriguez. Since July 20, 1993, when the body of Deputy White House Counsel Vincent Foster was found at Fort Marcy Park, the American government, and more importantly, the American press, have concealed the true facts of the death from the American people. Miguel Rodriguez, the lead investigator of Foster's death for independent counsel Kenneth Starr, spoke to over 100 journalists. One journalist, Steve Lapiton of the New York Times, called Miguel Rodriguez every other day. America's most influential newspaper never reported the story. Why did Steve Lapiton and the New York Times fail the public trust?
Lapiton still calls me every other day, Pat, because I know Lapiton is a complete believer now. There's no doubt in my mind he's a complete believer. I think that he's a believer that, and he knows. I spent about 5 hours with him.
To make it appear that Foster was killed with a gun he owned, Kenneth Starr's staff reported the family had brought guns to Washington, D.C. Brett Kavanaugh, a co-author of Starr's report, wrote, quote, Mrs. Lisa Foster said that she recalls two guns in a bedroom closet in Washington, one of which was missing when she looked in the closet after Mr. Foster's death, and that the missing gun was found at the scene, unquote. Yet there was no evidence the family owned two guns.
No evidence of there being two guns either, that there were two guns brought up. No evidence at all.
When asked about Robert Fisk's report about the gun ownership, Rodriguez said Fisk contradicted Mrs. Foster, who said that the family did not own the gun found at the scene. Rodriguez said Fisk's lies were the worst of all.
There is no evidence that that gun was ever found, ever part of the family. It contradicts an earlier statement by Lisa, who says it still wasn't the gun. They're all lying because they're all afraid that they're going to be targets. This is the worst among them all.
During his effort to investigate Foster's murder, Rodriguez discovered photographs were stolen, destroyed, or withheld to conceal the truth. In the first audio, Rodriguez explained that Foster's body had been moved. The missing photographs would prove the perpetrators recreated the crime scene. Alan Favish, a California attorney, has a case pending before the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the release of the crime scene photographs. This important Freedom of Information Act lawsuit could release the incriminating photographs. The American press is silent.
To be honest with you, I think that the photographs that were taken for several people don't exist any longer, or they have never been turned over to reviewing officials. At least seven were missing, and that was established during at one point. Right, at least five that were taken by one particular person are gone, and we're not at. Exist in addition to the 13 I had. I had a person look at 13 photographs, and that person told me, mine are not here. So that person's photographs are missing, at least that much.
Brett Kavanaugh's Starr's associate gave a good deal of credit to the pathology panel of experts that worked for Starr's predecessor, Robert Fisk. We now learn that these so-called experts did not examine the original crime scene photographs. Dr. Donald Ray, Dr. Charles Hirsch, Dr. Charles Stahl, and Dr. James L. Luke viewed only third and fourth generation copies of photographs. Starr's former lead investigator Miguel Rodriguez called it ridiculous.
In the photograph that I had developed, that I really don't want to discuss right now, even that photograph, we weren't supposed to see, in my opinion, because I had to go through great lengths to get it, and I had to do it myself. That was a Polaroid, a picture of a picture of a picture. There were three layers. It was a third generation, and what the first, the whole first team of forensic scientists looked at a third generation photograph. Pretty ridiculous. I thought that what was particularly interesting also was the finding that that when we discovered that there were pictures of pictures of pictures, third generation photographs that were used in the Fisk report.
Starr's office used the same photographs as his predecessor, Fisk. Brett Kavanaugh wrote that the conclusion of suicide was based on photographs, quote, gathered during the prior investigation, unquote. Starr's associate independent counsel, Brett Kavanaugh, wrote, quote, the 35mm photographs were underexposed, thus the Polaroids were of greater investigative utility, unquote. Why would Kavanaugh write that third-generation Polaroids were of greater value? Kavanaugh knew the 35mm photographs were not underexposed, and he had access to all first-generation photos. According to Rodriguez, those original Polaroids and 35mm photos were, quote, very interesting stuff, unquote.
I found the first generation of Polaroids, and I also had the first generation negatives of 35mm. Very interesting stuff.
Miguel Rodriguez searched and found the original photographs. From those pictures, he discovered that Foster had been moved to recreate the crime scene. According to Rodriguez, Park Police Officer John Rolla's report was not consistent with his own statements. Rodriguez said Officer John Rolla was, quote, incredible, unquote.
And I found Rolla's, the notes that he made at the scene, completely incredible and inconsistent with prior statements both made by him and accounts of others. I think he's completely incredible.
During the grand jury process, it is obvious Rodriguez learned important facts about people present at the crime scene. He does not reveal what was said during the proceedings. A slip of the tongue reveals the word special, as in special agents, being present at the crime scene. The only officials at the crime scene, according to the media, were U.S. Park Police, Fairfax County Rescue, and the medical examiner.
God, I'm brimming over. I'm bubbling over, and I'm angry that I cannot respond. I'm angry at myself because there's much to be said. Let me suggest to you, the investigative reporters investigate these people too. What background did they have? Wouldn't it be surprising if these people were special liaison in a prior life to, in some capacity? And were there any other supervisor people out there? And what were the backgrounds of some of the police that were out there? There's a whole host of fertile ground out there. Have you really identified all the main players out there at the Park Police?
If there were truly honest investigative journalists, they would have discovered what Miguel Rodriguez learned in the grand jury. Who were those people at Fort Marcy Park that night? Who do investigative journalists like Mike Wallace, Ted Koppel, Michael Isikoff, and Bob Woodward really serve? Miguel Rodriguez tells us that a grand jury can be manipulated and can be undermined.
The usefulness of grand jury and the investigative tools available, if a prosecutor is not allowed to exercise the tools that are available to the prosecutor to get truth, then even the best of tools can be undermined. Even the best of tools can be manipulated. Even testimony, okay, if someone is given advance notice or is allowed to prepare or allowed to review documents or something in advance, you see how that can change the nature of the grand jury. There's no element of surprise. You're not going to catch people in lies.
Patrick Knowlton, producer of this audio, testified before the Whitewater grand jury. Knowlton has firsthand knowledge of grand jury witness intimidation and abuse at the hands of people like Ken Starr's associates, Brent Kavanaugh, and John Bates. Rodriguez tells us that Starr used many of the same investigators that were responsible for the Fisk investigation. the same FBI agents. Associate Counsel Mark Stein and Deputy Independent Roderick Lankler, whose names appear on the cover of Fisk's report, were also retained by Starr. Rodriguez relates how Stein and Lankler reacted when he suggested that different FBI agents be used to reinvestigate Foster's death.
And I couldn't believe it. These people, Mark Stein and what was that guy's name from New York, which starts with an L, Lankler. My God, I couldn't. And they had the nerve to look at me straight in the eye and when I said, look, I think my big idea is to use different FBI agents, they went through the roof. They went absolutely nuts. They had everything the way they wanted it. It was a complete sham job. You know, again, I just think it's a whitewash. I think I know these people, and I know what they're trying to do, and I know where they want to go. And where they want to go is the path of least resistance. If the media allows these people to go down that path of least resistance, then they give all the pomp to having an open mind and then close the door. It's very clear to me that what Starr wants to do is lay the foundation for a open-minded approach and then conclude with the path of least resistance. And he wants to close it out. He wants to close that Washington office immediately.
As Miguel Rodriguez stated, quote, these people had everything the way they wanted it, unquote. Kenneth Starr and his associates knew that they could count on the American press to conceal the truth. While the cover-up of Foster's murder continues, those who participated are rewarded. For example, Starr's former associate John Bates is currently a federal judge, appointed by George W. Bush, and is on the bench in Washington, D.C. Another Starr associate, Brett Kavanaugh, currently a White House counsel in the Bush administration, has been nominated by President Bush to the United States Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. According to the Washington Post, quote, Democrats and liberal interest groups have expressed opposition to the nomination of White House aide Brett Kavanaugh, unquote. The cover-up of a murder is not a Democratic or a Republican issue. Justice is the concern of all Americans.
Hello, I am Patrick Knowlton. We have produced these audios for the American public, and we grant permission to copy and share them with others. I was harassed and intimidated on the streets of Washington, D.C. prior to my subpoenaed appearance before Ken Starr's grand jury, headed by prosecutors Brett Kavanaugh and John Bates. In those proceedings, Kavanaugh and Bates succeeded in discrediting my integrity and testimony. Since, we have made every effort possible to get the truth out to the American public. These audios confirm what my lawyer John Clark and the leading expert on the case, Hugh Turley, and I have been telling Congress, the media, and others for years. Our book, Failure of the Public Trust, based on the public records, proves what Miguel Rodriguez now confirms. Attorney Clark, Mr. Turley, and I have spent years calling, mailing, and personally delivering this information to the Congress, to the press, and to others. Every member of the 104th and 105th Congress was provided with documented proof of the criminal cover-up. Every major newspaper and media outlet, including the Network News, Dateline, Nightline, 2020, Larry King Live, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Washington Times, The Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Newsweek, Time, U.S. News and World Report, CNN, and countless others ignored us. Members of the press, including Mike Wallace, Ted Koppel, Wesley Prudent, Helen Thomas, Michael Isikoff, Bob Woodward, Jerry Sieper, Brent Bozell, Cokie Roberts, Matt Drudge, Steve Labaton, and Susan Schmidt also ignored us. My lawyer and I met with Pete Yost, the leading journalist for the Associated Press in Washington, D.C. Mr. Yost told us that the AP story on Starr's report regarding Foster's death, quote, was already in the can, unquote, long before Starr's secret report would be released. The wire services, like the investigators, knew the result in advance. Members of Congress that we talked to in person, such as Newt Gingrich, Bob Barr, Dan Burton, Dana Rohrabacher, Jim Walsh, Steve Schiff, Barney Frank, and Bill Clinger, ignored us. Senator Orrin Hatch said, quote, "There is absolutely no credible evidence to contradict the Fisk Report's conclusion that Vincent Foster took his own life and it happened at Fort Marcy Park. There is no evidence to the contrary. I suspect conspiracy theorists will always differ with this conclusion," unquote. Honest journalism and honest government can be achieved, but not by contacting members of Congress and the press, as we have demonstrated. These audios, when distributed, will demonstrate to our family, friends, and neighbors that our current American press cannot be trusted. And with this, we will take the first step towards achieving a better world. As Miguel Rodriguez will tell you, the only battle left is the battle for public opinion.